Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. My name is Shawn Marie Torrey, and I am your host for today's show, Business is Personal. And with me today is an amazing leading lady, Susie Clisson, who is the Vice President and co-owner of West County Tire and Automotive Incorporated. Good morning, Susie.
Good morning, Shawn Marie.
Thank you so much for being with us today. And this topic that we're covering today is one I'm really excited about, which is pivoting, reimagining, and changing. It's not always easy, but it is always worth it. And just for our listeners, I want to give you a little bit of background on Susie. And Susie, like myself, has been working since high school. She had numerous jobs before she ever graduated. And now she's a mom and a wife and a business owner for nearly 20 years. And she runs a business with her husband. And they took ownership, actually, of a business that had been a family business for over 37 years, nearly 40 years. And so they've been in the same business for 30 years. And I just thought, God, what a great person to have this discussion with. So, Susie, one of the questions that I wanted to ask you is, I know that this is not a relationship show, but not only did you marry your high school sweetheart, but you've been working together for 30 years. And I was, you know, as the vice president and co-owner, I was wondering if you could speak to this topic a little bit about implementing change and reimagining a new vision for a company that has not only been around for nearly 40 years, but that you've been involved with your husband, you know, with the love of your life. And, you know, I think that running a business is tough enough, but doing it with family, you know, I would imagine brings on, you know, its own set of challenges. But since
Absolutely.
We're talking today about, you know, changing and pivoting, can you speak a little bit to that? Like, what has that been like for you? Because a lot has happened in 30 years. So.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned relationships. Absolutely. I had to, you know, I was a very young woman when I went into the business. I was asked to come and be just the office manager. And my father-in-law was the one that started the business. So he was my mentor, my teacher. He was a very good teacher. And that was my relationship with him that I learned a lot from him. Of course, also in coming in under the management of my husband, that was a whole nother story of and a challenge of, you know, leaving work at work, but then our home life at home. So that's been always pivoting, always a challenge. But you know what? After a while, we adjusted. I know I have so many friends who say, I could never work with my husband. I don't know how you do it. But we seem to have managed to do it. And I think what happened there is eventually we just realized we just needed to stay out of each other's way at the shop and respect what each other did on a, you know, on our terms. So it's worked out, but not only in the relationships with learning from the owner, who was my father-in-law, but building relationships with the guys that I work with, you know, just getting down in the trenches with them in the very beginning. Except from actually working on the cars as a mechanic, which I've never done that, but I've worked the front desk. I've sold tires to customers. I've cleaned the bathrooms. I've taken out the trash. I've taken inventory. I've picked up tires. I've delivered tires. I've taken customers home. I just do everything. I just do it all because, for me, that's what a team player does. That's what a leader does, to show your team that, hey, you're willing to do what they do. And I think that's how, over the years, you gain their respect, and then you're able to have that those relationships that help grow the business, that you can influence your team with when things get tough and you need to pivot and change.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. You mentioned being under the management of your husband, but clearly, as the vice president and co-owner of this business, you are in a leadership position. And,
yes.
You know, and I love that you recognize that you know, how you show up as a leader, let alone a woman who leads, you know, that you have a direct effect on your team, you know. And I'm wondering, Susie, if there is, you know, what that's been like for you managing, you know, a team of men who, you know, I think that, you know, obviously this is an industry that's, you know, fairly male-dominated. So what has that been like for you as a female leader in this business?
Well, it's definitely been a challenge, but at the same time, I've learned through the years that, you know, we're all just people. Even though they're men, they have the same, they do have feelings, they have the same concerns, they have the same issues. We do think differently, and you learn how to talk differently to the guys, you learn how, what works, what doesn't work. But me being the only woman for so long there has been kind of fun. I mean, I've had an edge because I've kind of just been mama bear over there and here and there. And now my daughter has joined us, so I'm not the only woman there. She's a bookkeeper now. And it's kind of, you know, you just realize that, You know, we're all people. We need to be a team. You know, we just kind of have to get to know each other's personalities. I remember being thrown into at a very young age when I first started, my father-in-law put me in a training class for Goodyear Tires, corporate training, sales training and customer service. And I was the only woman in the class of all these service managers and store owners, and it was really intimidating. And I remember sitting there, and I wasn't understanding some of the terminology. And you know, you have that question in your head when you're in a class setting that way, and you think, I don't want to be the one to ask the stupid question. But I felt like, okay, I'm the only girl. I'm going to just ask the stupid question. I don't care. I'm just going to go there and go for it. And I remember I asked the question, and all the guys around me, they looked at the instructor, and they just said, oh, my gosh, yeah, we don't understand that either. You know, like everyone was sitting there with the same question and afraid to ask it. And I realized then that, you know, we're all just trying to learn the same thing. They have questions and they are intimidated the same way. And I just kind of went from there on that note, just kind of went forward and, you know, you have to be brave.
Honey, you know what? I could not agree with you more. And I love hearing you say that. I heard somebody say once at an event, God, this was probably 30 years ago. She was talking about asking questions, and she basically said to this group that I was in, and there were probably nearly 200 people there, and she said that asking a question was an act of courage, and it serves everybody in the room.
Absolutely.
And you just said that. You said it was, you know, it was a courageous thing. And I love that you mention that because, you know, I mean, we've heard comedians tell this joke for years, but essentially that, you know, men don't stop and ask for directions. And I just think that it really speaks to, you know, this level of influence, I think, that you have, Susie, in an industry which has probably grown a lot with regards to their open-mindedness or their, their ability to communicate or to, you know, I don't want to say feminize an industry, but I do think that the more creative, that more creative process tends to come from women. And I'm wondering, too, have you seen much of a shift in that regard? You know, do you see more women or more open conversation in your industry now 30 years later? Or do you feel like there's still, like, is there still room for improvement?
Oh, yeah. Actually, now that you mention that, this last couple of years, they have really focused on women in the marketing part of Goodyear Corporate, which we are a franchise of, and their marketing materials have women mechanics now on the material. There's a woman doing an oil change on the car. I've never seen that before. And they had a big promotion where they did a study on the woman's preferred auto shop. So they did a whole promotion on that last year, which I got on the bandwagon for that and put that all over my shop because we always like to say we're a woman-friendly shop because it's very intimidating for a woman to walk in an automotive shop and not know what the heck's wrong with her car and have to trust these guys. So when they see me sitting there, another woman in the industry, it's very calming. I've noticed that. When I was in those training classes with Goodyear Corporate, I had several other store owners approach me and ask me if I'd be interested to work for them because they knew that having a woman on their team and in their stores gave them an edge. So very interesting.
That's fantastic. And, you know, I agree with you completely as far as, you know, this idea of, women wanting to feel comfortable. And I would imagine that one of the advantages that you have, and we'll talk about advantages a little bit later in the show, but I would imagine that one of them is that, you know, not only do you have the ability to help women feel more comfortable, but also empower women to learn more about their cars, you know, and have those conversations with them. And so I'm just curious, do you find that women are more likely to speak to you about what their concerns are, what they feel is working or not working, in their opinion, versus what they might tell, you know, a male mechanic? Because I know in my experience, and I'm so glad that we're having this conversation because I actually need to take my car in, So I will be paying you a visit, Susie, but I'm just, you know, I know that I have this tendency personally to, I think, kind of acquiesce to the mechanic and say, oh, I don't really know what's wrong with it. But the truth is I have kind of a gut feeling.
Right.
So I'm just
right.
wondering if mm-hmm. you being present there, have you seen, you know, have you experienced women being more open about, you know, the fact that they actually do know something?
Right. Well, you know, that's an interesting dynamic because I'm thinking of they don't specifically want to ask me about what's wrong with their car because I don't think they think I know, and I certainly don't know. My technicians are, you know, ASC certified and highly trained, and those are the guys that know. But I think what helps them trust my guys is seeing me there.
Got
because
it.
They see a woman there that's an owner of the company, and for some reason it's a little bit more, it's probably easier to trust that I'm making sure everybody's up and up, and I've had that expressed to me, that's been kind of the feeling that other women get when they come into my store and they see that I'm one of the owners, as opposed to just all men sitting there, and it's more questionable.
That's fantastic. Well, Susie, and I've said this before, but we could just pick any one of these questions and talk about it for an hour or more.
Sure.
But what I'd like to do, because I do think that what your experience has been is incredibly valuable, and we definitely have women who. To listen to our show from a really wide geographic area. So although not everyone may be able to come and get their car serviced by you, you know, I would certainly love for them to be able to reach out to you or connect with you if they have any questions or want to chat with you. So
sure.
whether it's getting their car serviced or just having a conversation with you, could you let our listeners know the best way to reach you?
Sure. So definitely available by phone call. My number is 714-469-1664. And my email is another good way to get a hold of me. It's Susie, S-U-S-I-E, at westcountygoodyear.com. And either one of those works.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for that, Susie. And, you know, one of the things that I thought was really interesting about our topic today, I did some research, and one of the things that I was really surprised by is apparently this whole idea of pivoting has been kind of a hot topic for a number of years now, especially in the tech industry. And I read this really interesting article that came out about 6 months ago, and they were saying that when it comes to pivoting, that it's considered to be kind of this new, you know, politically correct term for failure. And I was reading this and I thought, God, I could not disagree with this more. I mean, I think that, you know, reimagining and changing and pivoting is really about acknowledging how quickly things are changing, and that, you know, I think from customer service to how people want to be spoken to or sold to, I mean, everything has changed so drastically. I mean, just in the last 10 years, let alone the last 20 to 30 years, which you've
absolutely
been a part of
business. Mm-hmm.
So I would love to get your thoughts on, you know, I mean, do you think that there's truth in that, that it's just kind of a way of coding over a failure? Do you think that there's really some significance in pivoting and reimagining?
Well, you know, the world is always changing every day. If we can't keep up with it and pivot through it, I don't know how that, I agree with you, I don't know how that's failure or what research you found on that. But for me, absolutely, over the last 30 years working the business with, you know, the family, and just having to adapt and change always with different technology, different, I mean, social media has blown up, and I've had to learn how to, you know, utilize that in my marketing and sales. That's, it's tough. You have to do it, and it's hard to change. Nobody likes change, but, you know, when you're a business owner and, you know, over a length of time, you have to embrace it. You can't be attached to systems and ideas and think that they're always going to work, because, as you mentioned, things are always changing. How you talk to people is always changing. Culture is always changing. And I've seen it. I've seen it all. The laws are changing constantly. We're having to learn new laws every day, especially in California, which it's tough. You know, the labor laws, the OSHA, it's a lot. It's a lot. And if you're not up for it, we talked about the new slogan for the Army that I was just privileged to meet this gal who is a lieutenant in the Army at the conference recently. And the new slogan for the Army is improvise, adapt, and overcome, which is like, bingo, perfect. It's like, that's what you have to do in a business, whether you're starting out as an entrepreneur or you've been doing it for a long time.
Now, I agree with you completely, Susie, and I love that. I love that, you know, that's their slogan. I mean, improvise, adapt, overcome, and God, isn't that the truth? And, you know, and speaking of overcoming, I'd love if you'd share with our listeners, not that you don't have, you know, dozens of them, but what for you has been one of your biggest learning lessons, whether it was through, you know, a really big success or whether it was through an adversity?
Okay, yeah. One of the the things that comes to mind that happened years ago when I kind of first was starting out. When I first started out, I was known from all the guys, the techs, and as the office chick. So when I would go out into the shop and I was told, okay, go tell this guy to give him this work order. Go work on this vehicle. And I remember one day I had to go out and tell one of my technicians that he needed to stop working on one thing because we needed him to change and go finish something else. And he didn't like that. And they sent me out there with a work order, and I'm just the office chick. He didn't like that I was telling him that, and he didn't do what I asked him to do. And so when, you know, my father-in-law got wind of it, who was my superior at the time, he let that technician go. And I will never forget that was like game changer for me. And I the channel in my head changed from, I'm not just the office chick. So that was my mentality because that's what they called me. But my father-in-law was grooming me to be a leader. And I had to change my thinking on that. And I'll never forget that because it was very powerful. And it was sent a huge, you know, message to everybody there. And I had to take that, and it's taken me literally, I mean, all the time from then to now to really, really grasp and know what that means for me. It means that, you know, I have a very important, powerful position that I need to pay attention to and that everybody's watching on my team.
God, Susie, that is so powerful. And you know what I think is really interesting too, and I would imagine that experience has been really layered for you. I mean, you know, that there were multiple learning lessons in that. But I'm wondering if one of the takeaways for you was also that, you know, the fact that you were being referred to, you know, as the office chick. And, you know, I think it's incredibly admirable, you know, that was not tolerated. But wouldn't it be great if that would have been, like, if your role would have been discussed and explained to people prior to that even happening? You know, so it sounds like right? Like, not
right.
Only did you get this incredible opportunity to really see your value, which I would like to think that you knew already, but having somebody step up for you like that is great. But now that you're in that position, you know,
right.
I think, like when you were talking about you and your husband, you know, you mentioned staying out of each other's hair, but it's really about knowing what everybody's role is. So I would imagine that you're probably still, you know, pulling lessons from that experience and benefiting from that happening.
You know, that's interesting you say that I knew my value. I didn't know my value. I didn't until that time. And even now, I'm, as you said, it's just been layered. I'm still learning my value, and I'm still learning, oh my gosh, I'm the decision maker here. I got to step up. I got to do it. You know, it's just a constant, you know, learning moving forward and realizing that when you're the business owner, it's all on you. You got to do it. And you know, you need to. And I love what you're saying about making clear to everyone what their job position is and what, you know, what they're there for, where that situation, you know, wouldn't have been an issue.
Well, and, you know, Susie, the thing is, and I think it's incredibly valuable that you are our guest today, because not only are our listeners entrepreneurs, but they're also professional women and corporate executives. And I think just being reminded how essential it is that when we are in a leadership role, which you clearly are, you know, that not only is it a big responsibility just in general to what we have to do on a daily basis, but I think the opportunities that we have to really empower people, you know, and to change their trajectory, you know, and to be mindful of the fact that maybe they don't know their worth.
Right.
You know, and that we have those opportunities to, you know, to be that example And I think that you are an amazing example, Susie, of a woman who leads really, really well. And I think that your honesty about it is refreshing.
Thank you.
No, you are so welcome. Thank you. And we have just one more question, Susie. And I'd like to save this question for the end for my guest. And as you know, the topic or the name of our show is Business is Personal. And I would love to know from you, when you hear that term, business is personal, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, for me personally, as we've been talking about, I mean, the investment over the years that, you know, that you put into a business, a family business, it's personal. It's you pour a lot of yourself into your business, even though it wasn't the business that I thought I was going to grow up to be in and do. I've made it. Mm-hmm. I've kind of made it my own. I've had to make it that. And believe me, I have my hobby businesses on the side that are my girl things that I like to do. So I have that. But it's your bread and butter. It's your living. And, you know, and if you're not having a good time at it and doing what you do, it affects your person. Whether, you know, you've been in business for 30 years or you're, you know, a passionate entrepreneur that's starting out, it's about who you are, and it's going to reflect on you, what you do, or to everyone around you. So it's very personal.
Mm. Well, Susie, thank you for that, and thank you for being my guest today. I could do this over coffee or over a glass of wine, but I will definitely settle for having you as a wonderful guest today. So thank you so much for being
here.
My
pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. And I'd also like to thank our listeners for tuning in today. After all, you are definitely the reason that we are here. And I just want to remind everyone that Women Lead Radio is here every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time with another leading lady discussing the topic of women leading in business. And finally, I'm back the fourth Monday of every month, and I look forward to being with all of you again very soon. And until then, I wish you a career and a life that you love. And remember that when it comes to what you do, it's the why you're doing it that matters, because business is personal.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.